we talking about?
The movie. Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's Rick's Martini's Bar and a special podcast. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but we're recording this on Memorial Day weekend.
So cheers to everybody cheers. Out there. Oh, if only you could be here. One of these.
And today we're having the premiere of Rick Famuyiwa. That's Academy Award winning. Did we say we were calling him Academy Award winning animator, Rick Famuyiwa. We're
Who could prove otherwise?
Go ahead. Like a Shrek one.
Well, I've worked. I've worked on a lot of Academy Award winning movies. So
we're
okay.
We're calling you now Academy Award winning animator Rick Famuyiwa. He's also a film collector, and he has this print of Apocalypse Now, which we figured we'd watch tonight because it being Memorial Day and everything. So, Rick, tell them how you came across this print.
Well, I've always loved the movie. I saw it in 1979 when it came out. I've always loved it. We have the Doors in the background. I hope you can hear this. Anyway, playing one of the songs from the movie. I've always loved it, and I try to collect great movies, not just everything. I do collect some crappy movies, too, but those are on purpose. But anyway, I was looking for a long time to find a really nice print of Apocalypse Now. And there's a film collector back east who's also a film dealer. And I said, look, if you ever find a nice print of Apocalypse Now, I want it. And so he looked and looked and looked, and he found one. He said, I have a print of, and this is right after the director's cut, the Redux version came out in the theaters. It was about 6 months after it came out in the theaters. I have a 16-millimeter print of the director's cut, the Coppola Redux. Version, longer version. And I said, oh, okay. And he goes, it's brand new, it's right from the lab.
Wow.
The whole deal, this is around 2002. Okay, it came out in 2001, this is around 2002. And I said, all right, I really want this bad, how much is it? And he goes, it's kind of pricey. And I said, just how much is it? It's $2,000.
Wow.
I said, I really want this movie. So, got it, and I've kept it safe in its box all these years. I wanted a special occasion to watch it.
Cool.
Watch it with you, because you have never. I mean, you've seen it, but I wanted to show it to you.
Yeah.
And Amanda has never seen it, so it's important. It's important to see it on the big screen.
And,
so anyway,
Rick is wearing his army green.
Army fatigues,
which is good. And just a little background in the movie. This was like an adventure. Coppola did this after The Godfather, after Godfather 2, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then he took on this huge deal to make this movie where he made it in the Philippines, and they had storms, and Martin Sheen had a heart attack.
Everything
it was
went
like
wrong.
Everything.
And you had Marlon Brando, who was probably at the height of his orneriest
and his weight,
orneriest in his weight and his ego, and kind of heavy.
And Coppola solved it by filming only his head, and then he used a stand-in for it part of it, but Brando got, that was Brando's big payday.
Yeah, because he didn't make any money on The Godfather.
Right, which we know from Robert Evans.
Which Robert Evans told me, but that's a whole another. So we'll do a Godfather night sometime, and we can tell the Marlon Brando story of how he signed away his points. Anyway, so Brando's in this. And also today, again, we don't know when you're listening to this, but today Dennis Hopper passed away.
From a long battle
with cancer, and he's in this movie, so it's appropriate that we watch it also today.
Right. He plays a journalist, right?
No. Harper's in the Army.
He's in the Army, but I thought he was...
I can't remember.
Harrison Ford is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Duvall, great in this movie.
He's great
in surfing-loving...
Duvall's excellent
in this. And the surfing guy is Frederick Forrest?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Duvall has like one of the most famous lines in movie history in this movie. Should we say what it is?
Yeah,
I guess we can say.
I love this.
He says, "I love the smell of napalm in the morning." Anyway, that's in this, and they're just it's a flawed masterpiece. There's things that don't work about it, but overall, it's just so brilliant you sort of overlook some of the.
This was in that era, in the Deer Hunter was before this.
Deer Hunter came out in 78, and this was...
But this was probably filmed before. But it was in an era where they were making kind of Vietnam War movies that were not pro.
Yeah, very, very, very anti-war. Yeah. This is... this goes along with, yeah,
And I'm going to add my personal Memorial Day commentary on this is, I mean, I like the movie, but I hate the fact that we love to beat ourselves the United States loves to beat ourselves up over wars, and it's like we don't do half as bad as other countries.
Well, we have a winning record too.
We got a winning record, and then after we beat you, we build your country.
We have
up
a good
again.
ERA and a winning record.
And even in this one, we lost the war. Right. In Vietnam, but we still make Nike's shoes over there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've helped their economy. Now
helped their economy, yeah.
This actually goes into, I think he's in Cambodia. They leave from Vietnam to Cambodia to get Marlon Brando.
Right.
And so that's kind of interesting. I got to tell you, when I was in China, which time we got, and just one thing about my thing about beating ourselves up is, I never knew about this, but when I'm in China, talking people. Have you ever heard of the Rape of Nanking?
I didn't even know Nan.
I know. I didn't even know about it, but in China it's a huge deal.
I don't even know Nan.
The Japanese, the Chinese have this thing about the Japanese because in 1940 or 38 or something during World War II,
uh-huh.
they raped to death somewhere between, Japan says 100,000, China says 300,000 women. They just went. The Japanese invaded Nanking, which used to be the capital of China a long time ago, and just raped to death hundreds of thousands of women.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's not even talked about. You know, it's like not even, but we drop a little napalm and
that's
we got to beat ourselves
that's
up.
That's called bad karma.
the ripping thing.
Well, you know, they got it again in 1955 when Godzilla came through.
Yeah,
destroyed
Japan.
Tokyo.
Anyway.
Let's ask Amanda if she's, you haven't seen this movie. You probably wanted to see it for quite a while, right? You've heard a lot about it.
I have heard a lot about it, yes.
Yeah. So you're looking forward to it?
Sure.
Okay.
And
I know it's very long, but I hear it's
good.
It's
about three.
Which is probably one
hours.
Of the criticisms.
Yeah.
Although
my version's even
although
longer,
I have to so. Be, I have a new respect for 3 hours because my wife Kathleen just saw Sex and the City 2, which is 2.5 hours
each. She saw it twice.
So it's 2.5 hours for that thing. So 3 hours with Francis Ford Coppola
sure
is much
it.
Better.
Well, there'll be a director's cut for Section 72, I'm sure, coming along.
I'd rather see Apocalypse Now.
There you go.
I'd rather see it backwards.
This didn't win the Academy Award. It was nominated for the Academy Award that year.
What won that year? 79. Was that the Ordinary
People? Nest?
No. I think it was the Ordinary People year. Mm. Yeah, Kramer versus Kramer, I believe, was 80. I could be wrong. Might have been Ordinary People. I could be wrong, but anyway, it didn't win.
It didn't win, but it's nominated.
It's a great movie. So.
And it's always nominated as I think between the best war film. It used to always be the best war film until Saving Private Ryan, and now they kind of alternate.
And Buck Privates was up in the top.
Buck Privates.
It didn't make
Abbott
the top.
Stella did not.
It didn't make the top. I don't know where. I must have read that somewhere.
Private Benjamin.
Private Benjamin. Yeah, that didn't make it either.
Yeah.
I guess what else is notable about this? I guess that's
great
it,
music.
Except for shot in the Philippines, supposed to be Cambodia.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something, I'll put this as unsubstantiated because Rick couldn't confirm it, and he's my authority for confirmation. I heard that George Lucas was supposed to direct it and was going to film it in Northern California.
In Petaluma, but somehow let's rethink this a minute.
And they did this huge.
Couldn't get the cows out of the way. There's no river here. This isn't going to work.
And my guess is that after everything, it made money, right?
Yeah, it was actually successful as far as what it brought in at the box office. It probably was. I mean, it definitely was way over budget. But a lot of people saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So in those terms, it definitely made its money back over the years.
It could have been a disaster.
Could have been a major... But, anything that over budget like Heaven's Gate was a disaster. But that didn't make its money back.
Right.
It just did.
And Heaven's Gate?
Heaven's Gate was...
Probably, right?
It was 78, 79 around this time. This
studio,
is a very interesting time for Hollywood.
Studio.
Paramount did Heaven's Gate. I can't remember who did...
Warner Brothers? Because they did.
Oh, I wish I could remember. Wish I could remember. I don't.
So this is just when that new. I mean, this is the new kind of directors coming
in. This is the actually kind of the end of that. This movie, Heaven's Gate, and a couple others kind of ushered in. All right, we're taking these movies back.
The studios. This was the end of it.
Yeah, studios said, right, we're taking these movies back. You directors are out of control. You guys are on cocaine. Well, we didn't deal with the cocaine that was all over the place at the time. But anyway, this was kind of nearing the end of that, the 70s era where the director was the boss, was the auteur, and he made his movie. And the studio said, fine, go ahead, as long as you keep it under budget. And there, for a while it worked. And then this movie, Heaven's Gate, a couple others, were just so big and so expensive and so, cumbersome and disappointments at the box office that the studio says, all right, we're taking control back.
Cool. Well, that's good. Let's make watching it more fun. And also the two big songs, and we just heard The End by The Doors,
It doesn't end. The end never ends. And the never ending end is what they should.
And the other famous music part that I know of in there is the Wagner thing where the helicopters are coming.
That's absolutely brilliant sequence. And there's another great sequence where they play Can't Get No Satisfaction, or Satisfaction, when they land, and there's all the girls and the bond.
The Playboy bunnies. I forgot about that, the Playboy
thing. That sequence is awesome, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Rick. Thanks for showing us this film. I'm excited to see it. And join us next time for another podcast. And happy Memorial Day.
Yes, and this podcast is actually free because it's a holiday.
We
usually charge a lot, but this particular one you can download for free.
And you download it for free at www.mccartymetro.com. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers.
And see you next time.